Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
These loved ones, encourage them in their heart. For every place they've been hurt and wounded by hurt people, I pray that you would bring healing, that you, Lord, would bring comfort, that you would bring strength and power to their life, that none of this would come across as condemnation, but conviction. Oh, God, how we need your conviction. It's your conviction, Lord, when you put your finger on something in our life, in our family, in our heart. It's your conviction that helps us to change. I pray that we would grab a hold of these things by faith and partner with you to see them come to pass in our own life and the things that we are believing for. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me preface this by saying that when I was in Costa Rica on my honeymoon, I was suffering for Jesus. Sitting next to the most beautiful pool by myself one afternoon, and I was praying over all of you and what the beginning of the year and this year would be about. And as you know, I started on Vision Sunday by saying that the Lord had given me a word. Does anybody remember what it is for this year? So, come and say it with me. So much, say it again. So much more in 24. And we declared that. And oftentimes when the Lord gives us a word, we will see the exact opposite. How many of you get challenged in the words that God gives to you? You're all super excited. You had a dream. You got a word. You know you heard from God. And then all hell breaks loose. And everything that God said looks like it's the exact opposite. Yes? So I was all excited. Woo, that's such a great slogan, you know, such a great campaign for the year. It's such a great prophetic word. God's going to do so much more. But when I heard it, I also heard a caution and a warning from the Holy Spirit, because he's instructional. And he said, I want you to go and visit a series you wrote like 7 years ago called Stay Out of the Traps. I thought, what's Stay Out of the Traps? What's that got to do with so much more in 24? Does anybody hear when you remember me preaching about the trap of offense? The trap of disappointment? Yeah. The trap of comparison? The trap of discouragement? All these traps. Well, I go back and I open it. I go back to the room and I open it and I start reading it. And then the Lord said, you know, encourage them at some point as my church right now. That there is going to be an all-out war, an onslaught of the enemy against you, because he knows that if you do not operate in love, all of the more things that he has destined for you get blocked. They're still yours, but they just get held up. Because you cannot operate in faith if you're not operating in love. So powerful. It's a strategy of the enemy. In fact, one of the best books that you could ever read, I believe it should be in every believer's library, is The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. Yeah? I see so many of you read it. Read it multiple times in your lifetime. It will help you. But I'm going to obey the Lord today, because I felt that war in the spirit, I felt it on many levels. I felt it like in my back. My back keeps going out of alignment, and it's never happened to me before. It happened the day that I got this word from the Lord on my honeymoon. And I've been feeling like knives, it's like somebody sticking knives in my back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody, come on, stick your hand up. Anybody experiencing this? As a prophetic person, I often experience things in my body that are spiritual. They're not mine. I'm not in denial. That does, but it's, here's what happens. When I'm getting words of wisdom about things that are happening spiritually, being out of alignment, you know, the knives in the back kind of thing, I pray and it goes away. I mean, it's good to stretch. It's good to exercise. It's good, you know, but I pray and then it goes away. And so I have to listen to that. There is an all-out onslaught right now against the church in the area of betrayal. Of backhanded stuff, of slander. And that's right there in the word. Jesus, when the disciples asked him, what will be the signs of the end of the age? What did he do? He started talking about the weather. He started talking about these cataclysmic events that were going to start to happen on the earth. And the earthquakes, and all of these things happening in closer and closer succession. But he also said, brother will betray brother. Many will be offended because of me. They're offended because of the witness of Jesus in you. How many of you have done absolutely nothing but love people, and you just walk in the room and they look mad at you? They're just mad at you because you showed up. Why? Because the spirit that's operating to and through them hates the Jesus inside of you. And many times we get our feelings hurt and you're like, what did I do? He said there's going to be an all-out war with slanderous words that are spoken against you. This is why it's so important that we need to know who we are in Christ. We're not what a demon says about us. We can't demonize the person, but many times the demon's telling them things, and then they just open their mouth, have no restraint, and they start saying things, and it hurts our feelings. It hurts our heart. Let's be honest. We're emotional. We were created with the emotions of God, and sometimes our emotions get out of control. We've got, even though our emotions are all over the place, we still need to keep our tongue in control. And I'm still working on that too. But we have to bring this member, this vessel, under the submission of the Holy Spirit and ask him to help us to continue to operate in love. Because the body, which is my responsibility, I'm to win souls as much as I can, right? I'm called to share the gospel with the world. But as a leader, I'm also called and established to train God's body, equip his saints, to be successful in your family, in your ministry, in all of your endeavors. Amen? So my focus right now is the Lord's church. And if the Lord says, my church, at the end of the age, there's going to be this war where the love, what does he talk about? The love of the great body is going to what? Grow cold. It hurts when someone used to be all in love and you felt the fire of their love for you. You felt that warmth of their love. And all of a sudden, you just feel the coldness. I know I'm talking to somebody this morning. Thanks, Janet. What happened, right? And it hurts your heart. And you try to love them. And you try to, you know, have a conversation with them. You try to talk it out. And they don't want to talk to you. And they avoid you. And they emotionally abandon you. Where do you go with all that? It's so hard. And we're seeing it across the world right now, and churches are being destroyed, not by the enemy without. Come on. But the enemy within. And if he can turn us into enemies of each other, he can destroy what God wants to do in your family, in the ministries that he has established all over the earth. And so today, I've got notes. I may not get through all of them. But I'm just following what the Holy Spirit's telling me to do. Number one, faith, hope, and love. You've got to get this right. Faith, hope, and love are a team. And I was going to call this God's power team, but I just decided not to do that. Call it faith works by love. Faith, hope, and love. They're a team. And they're eternal. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, at the end of everything, faith, hope, and love will remain. They can't be destroyed by anything. Faith, hope, and love will remain, but the greatest of these is love. So faith works by love. And it is the substance of things hoped for. So we got to keep hoping for restoration. We've got to keep hoping for salvation. We've got to keep hoping for healing. We've got to keep hoping for the things that God has destined for us. But love is the power charge behind faith. I also like to say it's the key. Faith is like a door that opens everything to us in heaven. It opens, it gives us access, amen? It gives us the rights. Faith is the door. Love is the key. It's how you open it. It's how you use it. So it's impossible to please God without faith. So we've got to have faith. Faith and hope work together. If you don't have something to hope for, you have nothing to have faith in, right? So faith and hope work together, but it only works by love. Without love, it can't function. Why? Because God has faith. The Bible doesn't say God is faith, does it? It says God is what? God is love. God is love, but he has faith. And when we come to him, he puts his faith inside of us. Think about that. We have the faith of God. That's why he said we could move mountains, right? We have the faith of God, but we also have to have the operation of God. And God always operates in love because that's who he is. 1 Corinthians 13 says, now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now that word abide means to stay. Dwell, to remain. Faith, hope, and love are living spiritual forces, and they are the forces by which God operates. So I want you to know this. No matter what you do, even if you sin and you commit the worst sin possible, the worst ones listed in Scripture. Paul wrote in Romans, he said, even if you committed all of these things, there's no thing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, what happens is when someone does something terrible, they're not separated from Jesus, but they become separated from us. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And that hurts. But we have to see them as unseparated from the Lord, especially if they have professed Christ as their Lord. And we also need to humble our hearts and not give up on them. Come on. Sometimes, Ms. Danelle, I read your post, I love that. There's no distance in the spirit. Sometimes we have to remove ourselves physically from a situation that is abusive or toxic, correct? We're not asked to stay in anything that destroys us or destroys the temple. But there's no distance in the spirit. And so in other words, we have to stay connected to those people in our life, in the spirit, where we're praying for them. That's what Jesus said, right? He said, love them, pray for them. Even if they speak all manner of evil against you and they persecute you, nobody in here, in their flesh, without the love of God, without the power of God, the life force of God, which is love, can do that. But with God, we can. We can choose that. We say, Lord, that behavior hurt. Those words hurt. They cut. But I refuse to disconnect my heart and get into pride and allow my heart to get hardened. I'm going to continue to pray for the person that you love. And I'm going to begin to declare the behavior that you want to see, that we all want to see. And not just talk about the stuff that we do see. You know, I believe in telling God the truth. In fact, I talk to him just like he's my best friend. I go in the prayer closet where he and I have conversations, and I'm a lot like David in that. I'm just like, just go spank him hard. Go cut the switch, Daddy. You know, my dad would say, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You're getting a whooping. Now you go cut the switch. I'd come back with some little tiny thing about that big. I grew up with people that believe the word. Spare the rod, spoil the child. But I tell the Lord, you whoop them. Just correct them, Lord. Don't turn me loose on them. Because you have more mercy than I do. Yeah. And then I bring myself back to the place where I say, Lord, it looks hopeless. They're acting more than 50 shades of crazy right now. There's not even a level for the shade that they're at. But I'm going to continue to hope and put my hope in you. That you, Lord, can get through to them. And I don't want to be a person that brings division and strife and destruction into the church or into my family. And I need you to help me with my mouth. I need you to help me with my attitude. And I need you to fill my heart with love for this person. I really do. So, point 1B, hope is the blueprint of faith. It is the picture or vision of the thing promised in God's word that's earnestly desired or needed, like healing or the finances to pay a debt or the love to love someone, I didn't put this in there, that is unlovely, that is being hurtful. We have to have hope in God that he will help us continue to love them no matter what they do. So without this hope, faith has nothing to work with to bring the thing desired from the unseen into the seen world of the five physical senses. Without the force of love, faith and hope won't work because love is a person. And I know this is sort of repetitive, but I'm trying to drive something home. 1C, if you're born of God, by making Jesus the Lord of your life, you're born of love. Think about that. You're born of love. 1 John 4:7 says, love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The next point in 1D is that Romans 5:5 tells us the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So this is, you know, we do need to pray and we need to engage the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is the one who sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. So we can't make excuses. I want you to see this. We're born of love and we've got the love of God flowing through us because we have a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So it takes away all of our excuses, right? I just can't love this person. No, it's that you can. Many times you just don't want to. Do you love me? Good. You better. Especially if you want your faith to work. I love hearing the truth. Sometimes the truth cuts. But the Holy Spirit is like a skillful surgeon. When the word of God is released, it's to cut off the ideas and the mindsets and the things that the enemy tries to bring against us. It's like he wants us to live in powerlessness. He wants us to live in pride. Oh, I've been so prideful. I was like, for years, I'd run into this one specific person and I'd see him in the grocery store. I'd be there. My kids were going to be eating dog food if I did not get groceries. And I didn't even have a dog. And I would leave. I would not walk in just because I saw them. Because running into them in my flesh was just going to be too much to take. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't leave me hanging out here all by myself. I'm just like, oh, guess I'll just, oh, I'll come back later. I have to redirect my whole life because I'm not willing to face the monster of hatefulness and aggression. And finally, you know, at some point, you just have to stand your ground. And I'm going to tell you what I did. Father, I do not like this person's behavior. Truthfully, I don't even like them. I don't like them. But I choose not to hate them. And my family needs food. And I came here today to get food. And they have every right to come in the same store as I do. And if I do go down that same aisle as them, Lord, help me. Help me to smile and not go, hi. Oh, yeah. Hi, there you are. No, you know, act natural. Like, literally have that resolved within your heart. So when you see them, you're at peace. Yeah? Because I want to be able to move forward with my, you know, with this thing. And I realize that that's in me. So you forgive them, you pray over them, and you get your groceries. You handle your business. But the enemy is trying to tear the love from our heart continually and trying to get us into bitterness and offense. And the Lord's church, his church, can't be the powerful church that he describes when he says, I'll build my church. He's building it. He's not tearing it apart. Yeah? He's not pulling stones out and throwing them out in the rubble. He needs us to work with him. He says, I'm building my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So let's look at that again. So the love of God is shed abroad, that's point 1D, in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. The person of the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us at the new birth. So God's own love is shed abroad into our hearts when we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And that's why love is the foundation of each of the fruits and gifts of the Spirit and the basis for every operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have time to go into all of this today, but we're supposed to be bearing fruit. Right? There's the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, and I've got that in Galatians 5, and I may paraphrase some of that, but I encourage you to read the whole chapter. But Jesus said that the commandment of love is the first and greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God. So he puts the love in us, and now you're to love him with all your heart, with all your soul. That's your mind. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. So you will it to be. You don't wait for it. You don't feel it to be. You will it to be. Amen? With your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. Now, love God. You got the direct flow coming, right? I love you, Lord. He puts more in our heart. I love you, Lord. Puts more in our heart. And now he says, take all that vertical stuff we got going on and turn it horizontally. The second is like it. Love that person. Yeah, your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Jesus pointed that out. Your neighbor is those within the body of Christ. They're your family. They're your neighbor. Come on. Love your neighbor, the person next to you, the person that you encounter, as you love yourself. I don't believe that people that are mean actually love themselves. We got this whole term, narcissism. Oh, they're into themselves. All they do is think about themselves. Narcissists are the most insecure, broken, self-focused people I know. And they look like they love themselves. They're very selfish. But they really don't love themselves. They don't. They think about themselves all the time. But if they really loved themselves, they would be able to love you. You can't give away what you don't first possess. Yeah? So it starts with that relationship with the Lord. We have to stay in that place that, you know, Lord, I love you. But Jesus was so, he was just so raw. He said, you can't say you love me and hate your neighbor in your heart. Because that's murder. He upped the ante in the Beatitude messages. He just said, you know, when you hate your brother in your heart, it's equivalent to murder. And he was dealing with the heart of religious people when he preached these sermons to them. He was telling them, you do all this external stuff. You take so much pride in your offerings and all of your religious things, and you come and you stand and pray these long prayers so everybody thinks that you're super spiritual. And I have met people that can, if they sound like they can pray the house down, but they are just mean, mean as little devils. I don't want to call them devils, but they're just mean. And God isn't coming for a church that's mean. He said, the world's going to know you're mine. How? By the love that you have one for another. You can't be in the family and not consider the others. You know how many one another's there are in the Bible? I don't remember. I think Joyce Meyer is the one that said how many there were. I love her. But you, what I'm trying to say to you is that we are called to walk in unity and in close proximity to each other and to make allowances for each other's little peculiarities and personalities and in all of that. But we are never to be ugly and rude and mean-spirited toward one another. There is fruit that God is expecting to be born in our lives. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, meaning you cannot bear this fruit apart from Him. We have to stay in relationship with Him. And when we do get up in our flesh, we need to repent. You don't hear these words anymore, like, you need to repent. What is repentance? It is not, you know, going on and just, you know, crying over things and begging God to forgive you. And you should, but it's changing your mind. Repentance is changing your mind. And it was asked to me recently, how did you overcome this one particular sin of cussing? And I said, I tried everything. You guys know my testimony. I had a cuss jar and money was falling out of it. Every time I cussed, I had to put money in the thing that was making more money than me. And I realized one day, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it was no external thing. It wasn't willpower, any of the stuff that's going to make me change. Pay in a bucket. It was asking the Holy Spirit to bring a conviction to my heart. What is conviction? It's not condemnation. Conviction is when the Holy Spirit puts His finger on something and He says, you've asked me for help here, now I'm going to help you. Not by might, not by power, but my Spirit, says the Lord. Yeah? And so I asked for a conviction about that. And ask Him to purge my heart. The Bible says that pure water and filthy water can't come out of the same cistern. And I realized that I had a different cistern. And I needed it plugged up. I needed it. I need that thing stopped. I had to ask the Holy Spirit for help with that. And so he did. And I can't say that I've been completely perfected in that. But anytime I, you know, like something that's still in my heart starts to pop up, before it comes out of your mouth, it goes in your head. That's why I say sometimes, like, you know, in traffic and things like that, I literally will start, well, you're up. And then I'm obey the word to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and make it obey the Lord. I'm like, no, you're not doing that. You're going to obey the Lord. We cannot have all these evil thoughts in our heart toward other people, because if we hold on to them, because that's not the will of God, we know the will of God, right? When we violate the will of God, that means we're in pride and not in humility. We've let our flesh get into pride, and once we get into pride, our heart hardens and we step out of love. This is point one. I've jumped down a little where in there, but when we step out of love, that doesn't mean we're not loved. What I'm saying is we step out of the operation of love through our own life. We start yielding to strife and division. And we violate the love nature of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us and produce condemnation in our heart. It produces condemnation. And that condemnation starts to destroy our confidence toward God. Does that make sense? You have no confidence toward God, you have no faith. You have no faith, you have no victory. 1 John 5:4, it says this, "For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and the victory that overcomes the world is our faith." I'm going a little deeper here. God has given us his faith. He's given us his person. He's given us his spirit to pour into us everything that we need to be powerful in operation with faith, love, and hope. And the enemy is going to come against your marriage. He's going to come up in your head and turn you against your spouse. He's going to turn you against your coworkers if he can. He's going to turn you against somebody within the church who was having a bad day. He's going to get you assuming things, and then, you know, you get into silence. And I always say assumption is the breeding ground of offense. Silence is the breeding ground of offense, and assumption is the bait of Satan, because once you assume it, you believe it, and now you are offended. Yeah? God wants us in this hour to be savvy, because he said there's going to be an all-out war of betrayal against my people. And so Paul, and I wanted to throw this out there aside from this other scripture. In verse 14, if you guys could go to, well, let's start at verse 13 in Galatians 5, and then I'm going to land this. How many of you feel convicted today? I do. I just know there's areas where I can do better. I can do better in my thinking. I can do better in my speaking, and I want to. I want to be a person that contributes to the health of the Lord's family and not the dis-ease. Amen? Paul said this. He said, "For you, brethren," and that's you sisters too, "were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. But through love," there it is, "you should serve one another." You should. Anytime you see in a marriage one person always serving the other one, and you can't do enough for that person, it's never good enough, nothing you do is ever good enough, and they take and they take and they take and they take, and they never serve the person that serves them, you're dealing with a person who is in pride and selfishness, and they need God. They need breakthrough. But it is not an excuse for you to stop serving them. Ouch. Say ouch or amen. That's what my pastor would say. Say, ouch, your amen. Yeah? And then Jesus ends on, Paul ends on this. He says, for the whole law, because they were saying, you know, they were justified by the law, by the keeping of the law, all these rituals and routines and everything, and they were just mean. They were mean to Jesus. They killed him. And he still loved him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Paul goes on and he says, the whole law concerning human relationships is compiled into one precept. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. It's interesting that he leaves the you shall love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength out, right? Paul is dealing with the church, and he says it's all compiled into one precept. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. But, here it is, if you bite and devour one another in partisan strife, this is what's going on in our country. We got bipartisan, and I'm not going to go down the politics road. Y'all looking hostile toward me. We all just love Jesus, and we want God to be in our government. Amen? But we can take a look at the way the world operates and how underhanded and just this feel with strife and all of that that is going on. And God wants us in the church to operate different. God has a government. And he wants us to be governed by his power and his strength and his love. Amen? We have to show the world something different. And when the church is biting and devouring each other and acting as ugly as they are out there, then we're not going to be as effective as God has intended us to be. Amen? So he says, but if you bite and devour one another in partisan strife, watch this, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one another. Now, you may be going, Pastor Vernon, where's the war in here? I want to just tell you right now, I don't see it. Nothing's coming to me like, you know, there's this sect over here and this sect, because I'd be talking to y'all. We'd be having some conversations. So what I'm saying to you is this is an endorsement I feel of the Holy Spirit upon this house right now. There's unity in the prayer team. There's unity in the children's department. There's unity in the worship. It wasn't always this way. Oh man, we acted like toddlers for a long time. Everybody was sensitive and touchy-touchy and feely-feely and just, you know, just... We acted like a bunch of kids. We're 17 years old now as a church. And I have never been more proud of you guys as I am right now. But what I'm trying to say to you is make our dad proud. The one thing about this house, and I don't have to say it and, you know, try to sell something that isn't true. The one thing about this house, when people ask about Soul Harvest, and I hear it in every membership class, when you walk in there, The love in that house will overwhelm your heart. You'll fill it with every fiber of your being. And this ain't just about goosebumps, okay? You feel his presence. What is that? His presence. Who is he? He's love. His name is Jesus, but who is he? He is love. So when people say, we felt the presence of the Lord, I hope you felt more than goosebumps. I've gotten goosebumps listening to ungodly music. That's not an indicator of the presence of the Lord. You can feel the presence of the Spirit and get all kinds of goosebumps. But if it's not the Spirit of God and you don't feel his love, it's not him. That is the greatest indication that he is in the building. And it's not the blue lights and the skinny jeans and the smog machines and all the stuff, from, you know, the bells and the whistles. If people walk into your sphere and they get into proximity with you, there are people that are going to experience the love of God and it's going to make them whole. But there are also going to be devils that go, oh, no. That person just walked up in here with the one weapon that could disarm me and everything I'm trying to do in this family, every strategy I have brought against them. They love God. And they love like God. So who in their sphere of influence has some chink in their armor or some immaturity that I can start working on? I can't really disarm them in the prayer life because they got one. I can't take their salvation because that's already a done deal. But I can start to hit them where it hurts. I'll start working on their children. I'll start working on their husband. I'll start working on that person that they love so deeply. I'll start to bring division. The Bible says that the root of pride, in other words, it can't grow without this. Or the root of strife, sorry. The root of strife. Strife can't grow. It can't, you know, it just can't grow without this root. What is it? It's pride. You want to see your marriage healed? You want to see God start working in your relationships, in your family? Don't give the devil a root to work with. Kill that thing at the root. And don't worry about it in someone else's life. Make sure that it's not in you, right? See if there be any pride in you. It takes absolute humility to look at someone who has done something to you that legitimately was wrong, and you're justified in feeling upset about it, and say, I choose to forgive you. One of the most profound stories that I ever observed was a woman who her daughter had been mutilated and raped and killed at the hands of this monster of a man. And it was her turn to talk in the courtroom. And she stood in front of him. And she closed her eyes and took a deep breath. And she opened them up. And she said, you are somebody's baby. And I know there's been people in your life that have loved you. And I hate what you did to my family. But I can say to you that I love you. And I can't say that without my Lord. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I can't bring my daughter back. But I will not hold against you what you did to my family. Because my Lord gave me mercy when I didn't deserve it. And so I give you what I have received from him, and that is mercy. I refuse to hold bitterness in my heart because of your behavior. I refuse to give what you did rent in my soul. That will never hold real estate in my soul. And I pray, sir, that you come to know how valuable, how fearfully and wonderfully made by my God that you are. And I hope that before you breathe your last breath, because he was sentenced to death, that you make things right with him, because he died for you the same way he died for me. And I bless you. Thank you. And she walked out, and I was weeping. How do you do that? It wasn't fake. I don't know what happened with that man. But we look at people like that and we think they deserve everything they have coming to them. Yeah? Our God is a God of vengeance. He is a God of justice, and he is a God who vindicates us. But we are to never take that into our own hands and start to become the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Amen? There is a wholeness and a healing that God is bringing, I believe, to anyone who is in a place of brokenness and woundedness because of betrayal. I'm going to pray over all of you. But I do believe this. There's power if you will guard your love walk that you have never, ever experienced before. Your prayers are going to go to another level. There's a healing that's going to happen in your heart and in your lives. You're going to another level. I prophesy over you right now. We can't do this church without his spirit. Amen? This is his church. You're his church. Us together, we are his church. And the devil and his gates are trying to prevail against us. But in Jesus' name, we are going to walk in love. We are going to choose love. We're going to choose the word. We're going to do what he asked us to do. We may get slandered in the media. There may be people speaking all manner of evil against us in lies. But listen, stand firm in the truth of who you are. And ask God to fill your mouth before you speak. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. God, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us enough. Your word says in Hebrews that whom you love is your children, as your children. This is even how we know that we are your children, is that you bring correction to our life. If we've been thinking wrong, Lord, we thank you for the correction. We thank you for the alignment that you've been bringing to our heart. Give us what we need, we ask, and we receive now in the area of love and power to be able to speak a different word over those that have spoken a bad word against us. Help us to speak your word. Help us to come, Lord, with prophetic declarations that are encouraging and inspiring and that are hopeful and that are words of wholeness. As we release them, God, we expect to see you begin to do the work in their hearts and lives, that our words maybe fall on their deaf ears right now, but we're asking you to open those ears, to open the ears, open the eyes of their heart. Help them to have understanding and, Lord, to bring correction and repentance to them. We declare their salvation right now. This is salvation from themselves. Salvation from the devil. Salvation. Wholeness. Sozo. Wellness over their life. Help us to be agents of healing and building and to bring you much, much glory in Jesus' name. And listen, if you've been watching right now, I want to encourage you. Jesus loves you so, so much. He died for you. He didn't die to condemn you. He said there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Once you're in him, you're never condemned ever again. You're not condemned to die. You're not condemned to damnation. You're not condemned to eternal separation. You are brought into the family of God, and you are given what you need, not only for eternal life, but to be an agent of healing and wholeness. And he just says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Repent of your sins, which means change your mind and just say, I let go of that, Lord, and I look to you as my Savior. And I'm going to lead you in a salvation prayer. I pray you do that if you're listening by podcast today, or you're watching by media, or even if you're in the house and you're not sure that you have a true relationship with the Lord. Pray this prayer today and engage your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe with all my heart that you love me, that you died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. I repent of sin, and I ask you now to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive all that you have for me, and I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Come on, give God praise. Listen, if you're here today and you still need prayer for anything, our team is always here, going to hang around a little while after church. Otherwise, take this word, not just what you heard, but take it and let it get rooted in your heart. And this week, as you're challenged, go pray if you need to before you interact with someone. But be intentional. Amen? You're going to see some real victory this week. I believe that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. I love you.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.